Come on, let's go with it.
I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just one second, you'd be back to bother me.
Oh, now go.
Walk out the door. Just turn around now, because you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? You think I'd crumble?
You think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I.
Backward skate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Couple skate only. I will survive. That's exactly right. This is the KTF podcast, and you're watching. I'm your host, Pastor Shannon Williams, where we defend the faith and stand for truth. All right, here we go.
What's up, America?
We're going to dive right in.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Got B-Mizzle.
How y'all doing?
PBJ.
What's happening?
Yep, we're all here, and it's going down. You know what it is. Like, subscribe, share, and let us know where you're watching from. We've got a doozy. How we're going to survive the current society and everything going on. How are we going to overcome it? How are we going to win? Crank us up first out, PBJ. What do we got?
All right, let's see. So I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to give you some scripture right off the bat. John 8:23, and he said unto them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Jesus said that. So the moment we are in place for our we place our trust in Jesus, okay? For salvation, we become not of this world, because Jesus is not of this world. Once we become part of him, once we accept salvation, we don't become part of this world. So the society of today, you know, there's a lot of corruption, there's a lot of negativity, you know, there's a lot of things getting forced down each other's throats. You know, it's generally just bad out there for a believer. You know, we get called bigots, we get called haters, we get called
homophobes,
we get called all kinds of stuff. And to be a believer in today's society,
xenophobe,
you know, people just want to bash us.
You're
they don't
outcast.
Like us. We're an outcast. You know, we're but the Bible does say we are a peculiar people. We are set aside, set apart, different from everybody else out there. So to survive in today's society is to really stand up and be a true believer, to be set apart, to not be of this world, just
That's
like
right.
Jesus is. Jesus provided salvation for us to be different. We are created in God's image. We are not to be the same as everybody else out there. He has the ability to take us with him, but instead he has us wait for his return. You know, when we get saved, you know, God had the ability to just take us out right there. He said, "All right, you can come with me to heaven." But instead, he said, "You know what? Stay here. Share the gospel. Get other people to come with me. Get other people. Tell them about me don't have to be."
Yeah.
So they don't have to be in that society. They can be apart from it. They can be different. And we don't realize that all of this as a believer, all of this as a Christian, all of this as a follower of Jesus, you are in the midst of warfare. You are in the midst of spiritual warfare. You are in the midst of warfare with demons. You're in the midst of warfare with people who don't believe. You need to really set yourself apart and learn your survival skills. That is reading your Bible, praying, fasting, you know, being a part of what it is to be a Christian and a believer.
So, I mean, the question here, I mean, can a Christian survive? I mean,
yes.
We're watching a decline in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Statistics are saying that Christianity's decreasing. Churches are closing by the droves. So, you know, is there hope for the believer out here? I mean, we've got a wicked society. We've got a wicked government. Look at Hollyweird. I mean, most of them, I'm not going to say it like the name, but most of them like little children, a little too much, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They have a lot of witchcraft going on, Luciferianism, Satan worship. A lot of that is sold and bought out, and they're influencing the whole world.
Yes.
You know, as Christian folks, do we have a fighting chance? What do you think?
Yeah, we do.
But are we going to fight? Are we going to fight is the big question.
Well,
we have the ability, we have the power, but are we going to fight? Are we going to stand unified as a body of Christ?
I mean, that's a big problem. I mean, we're not unified.
This is tying in with division as well.
We've got over 200 denominations just in America. Across the world, globally, the Christians rank in a number of 45,000 denominations. That's separate groups. So if we're saying, hey, we're going to be united to fight, you know, first of all, we're going to have a problem.
You know,
because we're not unified. I mean, I'm just going to be a realist, and I'm just going to say the body of Christ.
Absolutely,
man, we've just got schism after schism
schism. Right. Yeah, we fight and argue over the ridiculous things. You know, I'll never forget seeing a post or something about this atheist heathen. He's like, you know, 40,000 denominations, and you want me to come be part of that?
Wow, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Y'all can't get on the same page about anything.
Well, I mean, I personally, I can understand. I can say, listen, all right, I'm not selling you a denomination. I could care less about Baptist, right. Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Lutheran. I could care less about PH. I could care less about Church of God or any labels of that. I'm actually trying to offer Jesus, and that's
right,
it.
Yeah.
So I could overcome that and say, okay, I'm not offering you denomination. I'm offering you relationship through Christ. I'm offering you conversion. I'm offering you can be born again. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says you must be born again. So I can overcome that one. But as a church, being unified, that's a difficult task. I know the Bible says that there's a blessing that comes from being in unity among the brethren, but as the reality in which it sits, we have a very, very tough thing going on. So where does the hope come from that we can overcome this world? Are we going to overcome a system? Are we going to rally and fight? Are we going to take up arms and fight? Is our battle simply spiritual? Mm-hmm. And if so, how do we go about it? I want us to talk about real solutions and real answers, because there's a lot of people out here saying, I want to serve God and I want to make it to heaven and I want to be a real believer, but it's just so hard right now. What do I do?
We got to first define what this world is. And the verse I had was Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world.
Okay.
All right. There's three worlds here. Let me explain. Okay. You got the world, the earth, and the heavens, which God created, right?
Yeah.
Psalms 8:3 says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, right?
Okay.
That's one world.
Yeah.
The second world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That world is humanity. That's mankind. All right.
Yeah.
The third world is 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not. That's the system set up by Satan. It's running this world right now. It's the world order that we're fighting. That's the battle. That's what Paul's talking about in this verse. He says, do not be conformed to this world. He's not talking about being conformed to this earth. Don't be conformed to this system of demonic activity and satanic rule that's ruling this world right now. That's what we as believers have to fight against. That's the battle that we're in. It is spiritual.
Okay. So how does a spiritual person fight today? If we're going to fight, if we're going to overcome, number one, who are we fighting and how do we overcome in a fight?
Okay, that takes me to my second verse, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers,
rulers of darkness
of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Putting on the whole armor of God.
So you're saying it's a supernatural fight.
It's a supernatural fight that we're in.
So what are we fighting? What are we fighting?
The devil.
Oh, wait a minute. We're fighting the devil?
Yes.
And his demons?
And his demons.
Okay. So there are demons.
Yeah.
But demons, Christians, they can't have demons. They can't be vexed by demons, and they can't be tormented by demons. So who are we fighting then?
Then you better be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to renew your mind.
Yeah.
You put on your armor of God. And
people that don't believe in supernatural warfare, I'm like, how can you believe in Ephesians 6? How can you quote it? This is the word of God. And how can you say it if you don't actually believe we're in a fight?
Well, Paul told you to put on the whole armor. He didn't say that it's just there in case you need it.
You better boot up every day.
He's giving you orders of how to battle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're not protected from the onslaught of the enemy. Just because, you know, I got saved and I'm good to go. That ship don't fly, you know?
Yeah.
You've got to battle. We got an enemy and he is out to take this world down. And we're trying to win as many souls to Jesus as we possibly can.
We do know that the earth is going to burn up at some point.
Right.
We do know that there will be judgment upon the earth, upon the systems. There's going to be an Antichrist system. The book of Revelation tells us that's going to rise up and it's going to control. It's going to make war with the saints. It's going to force a mark, force people to worship.
Right.
We do know that.
Yeah.
But until that day comes and is fully fulfilled, we've got to understand that I believe that God doesn't just want us to survive. I think God wants us to thrive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come on. He wants us to overcome and help others overcome.
That's right.
And could you imagine, it's like the picture. I see this picture. Somebody's getting to heaven. They go to heaven and they get there and they're like, oh, I'm so glad I got here today, because if it would have waited till tomorrow before I made it here, I might not have made it. I just got here barely by the hair of my chinny chin chin. You know, it's like I don't want to just barely fall over the finish line and collapse. I want to run through. That's I want right. to run the race and run it well and succeed and overcome, because Jesus says we can. Mm-hmm. He calls us overcomers.
That's right.
And if we can't actually overcome, then we should set that example for other people.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I got a scripture here, 2 Timothy 2:3. I want to read that real quick. It says this. It says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Kind of goes along with Ephesians 6. What is a soldier of Jesus Christ? I think that's talking about every believer. Okay. We are soldiers. Yeah, we're in a war.
You're called into his army.
Yeah. We're in a warfare. We're in an army, and we have an enemy, and we need to fight the enemy. So as a good soldier, we must endure hardness, right? That means to undergo hardship, suffer trouble. Mm. So if you're going to go through, if you're going to be a good soldier, you got to learn how to suffer through the trouble. Suffer through the trouble. Keep going. Suffer through the trouble. Keep marching. Suffer through the trouble. Mm-hmm. Keep praying. Suffer through the trouble. Your life is not going to be roses when you're a Christian.
Come on.
It's not going to be grand all the time. Come it's on. Not going to be good. Great That's all good. The time. Yeah. You're not going to have every prayer you pray get answered. You're not going to wake up and angels are going to come and fill your cabinets in come your on. House with groceries. Things aren't going to just be hunky-dory, beautiful all the time.
You know, a good.
You're going to have to learn to go through some real, real difficult challenges.
If there's a good soldier, there's such thing as a bad soldier.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that go into the military and they don't make it.
They're not fit for it.
They can't cut it. They go AWOL. They do do different things. Those who endure the hardship, that's the good soldier. That's the ones he needs. That's the ones that we got to try to be.
That's right. That's right.
You know, ones that can overcome, like you said, that ones that battle through, press through. I think of a good soldier dragging his buddy along, you know. But if he's wounded or something, I see that picture of him picking him up off the ground and say, come on, we got to keep going. That's a good soldier.
A good soldier keeps his weapon ready.
Yep.
He's he keeps all his gear ready and prepped. He's ready to go. He's ready to get caught up at any moment, any instant of time. A good soldier is ready to fight, ready to. And a lot of times it's about the brotherhood too. You talk to any guy in the military, he feels a connection to his brothers. It's not always about me. It's about, you know, I'm going out to fight and I'm going to fight with my brothers against the common enemy. And so they learn to battle. They learn to overcome. They take things. They take challenges, and they're facing a real enemy.
Yep.
They could die at any moment.
You know, you think that makes a picture of these old World War II guys, that they remember their tail gunner, you know, or something like that in the military, and they keep in touch. They're like brothers, like you said, right? There's no difference in that war.
Come on.
And the war that we're in right now. You know, you're my brother. I'm supposed to lift you up. I'm supposed to do everything I could possibly do to help you out.
That's right. You That's know? Right.
It's no difference in World War I and the war we're facing today.
Yeah. Well, the stakes are very high.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got it. Souls are on the line. Mm-hmm. Where someone spends eternity is on the line. Heaven or hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to go with God or go with the devil. I mean, you can either walk two paths. I mean, it's very clear. There's two paths. There's two outcomes. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many go in thereby.
Yeah.
Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few be that finds it. But we got to be the few. It's like the Marines. The Marines, their slogan is the few, the proud, the Marines. They're like, nah, I know everybody's not going to make it to be a Marine, but we're the few and the proud, and we're gonna overcome. Once that's a Marine, right. Always a Marine. You know, they have Semper Fi as always faithful is their motto. And I think we can learn some stuff from them in the Christian world. I think we can learn from them actually in the church because we are good soldiers. So how do we overcome? It's real easy. I got a scripture, John 16:33. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. But in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So he says, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but I have spoken this so that in me you may have peace. See, I believe Jesus is saying, hey, get me in your life, connect with me. So what is on the inside of you is peace.
You can't do it without him.
Even while all of the chaos is going on around you, what's happening outside of you should not affect what's on the inside.
That's right.
You should have peace in the storm, peace in the trial, peace when it's crazy. You should be able to call on the Prince of Peace, or that translation is the Master of Peace, and God will give you that peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It matters what's going on in you.
You know, think of Paul and Silas. The night before they're going to get crucified or executed, they're singing praises in the jail.
Right.
That's having peace in your heart. That's not worried about nothing. And the Holy Ghost showed up and all the chains fell off.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we got to be with you. That's what we have in Christ. We got to get to where we walking like Paul and Silas, no matter what the situation is.
I like it. You know, I think about that song. Building 429 has a song that says, all I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong.
Yeah, that's right.
I think about people knowing, keeping their eyes on the prize. That's what I think about, keeping their eyes and set their affections on things above and not on things of this earth.
Come on.
Because there'll be disappointments here. There'll be heartache here. There'll be brokenness here. But I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus.
That's right.
I'm keeping my eyes on the prize and on him. And you know what? No matter what's going on, I just keep focusing on him because that's where my heart is. That's where my love is. You know, I'm going to lay up treasures in heavenly places. Right. I'm not sold out for this world. You know, okay, yeah, I've got stuff here. You know, I've got plans. I've got a retirement but I'm not betting on this world, right?
Come on.
I'm betting on Jesus. And if I will allow him to come and be inside of my heart, then my life is not built upon what happens here.
Right.
So you know what? There's going to be stuff that's going to happen. It's going to shake you, but your foundation means everything.
That's how we make it in this world.
Build it upon the foundation of Jesus and not on the system of this world.
That's right.
You could have your car get repoed. You could have a house foreclosure. You could have a bank loan default. You could lose a job. You could have a career change. You could have somebody walk out of your life. A spouse could leave you. Kids could, you know, forsake you. You could have parents that abandon you. You could have all kind of things happen and still go to heaven, still overcome, still be a winner. Why?
Because
you're doing things for God through him, because everything here is temporary.
That's right.
And we're not living for the temporary. We're living in the temporary. There's a difference.
Can't get bogged down in those worldly things either. You know, our focus is soul winning, winning souls, bringing people with us to heaven. Right. If we're bogged down about my job or my kids, my ex, whatever the situation is,
Thank you, Lord. We
just get bogged down with that. The devil uses that to take our focus off of what the goal is. Our goal is to make heaven and bring people with us. Right.
That's right.
All right. We're looking for eternal.
Ooh, come on. That's right. I look around. I don't see a lot of hope here. Mm. You know, my hope's in Jesus. Hope's in not in the dollar bill.
No.
I mean, that thing's getting weaker and weaker. I mean, you just let Biden just keep sending the memo. Print some more. My God, we're going to pay $12 for a loaf of bread before he's done. It's going to be ridiculous. So my hope is not in a dollar. It's not going to save us. My hope is not in the government. They're not going to save us. You know, our hope isn't in material things.
Right.
hope's in Jesus. You know, we only worship one master, and he's our master. Yes. Mark 4:19 says this. I think about this. I memorized this a long time ago, and it really helps me. It says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it became unfruitful. Mm. It's talking about the seeds that were sown, the parable of the seed and the sower.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 4:19 declares that there was one seed that went out and it got planted in the ground and it started to grow. It said, but Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world, the cares, and I care about this person and these people and this stuff, and I care about that, and I care about that. And it has such an influence on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I care about it so much that it affects me.
All the burdens,
I care about fitting in. I care about making these people happy.
Other people's opinions.
Yeah. And then it says, in the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, right? I'm going to chase the dollar, chase the dollar, chase the dollar. Dollars can't make you happy. And then in the lust of other things, the desire in our heart just to have stuff gets us off track. Yeah. And it can choke the life out of us. So if we're going to, we have to learn to not let those worldly things get in us. We got to go through that. We got to go through the world without the world getting in us.
That's right. That's right.
Not to change subject or anything like that, but what would be one thing that you could tell a new believer that's trying to survive in today's society, one thing that they really need to adhere to? One thing, one good piece of biblical advice.
You need to get a foundation upon the Bible.
Yeah, the Word.
If you're going to grow, okay. So our foundation is the teaching of the Word of God. That's what it is. It says, okay. So the parable of the one guy, he built his house on the sand, right? He didn't listen to the teachings. He built it on the sand. When the rains came, the winds came, it just blew it down. It fell. The house fell. But the guy who built it upon Christ and his teachings, he's built upon the rock. So when the rain comes, the wind's coming, and the storm shows up, he don't fall. That house doesn't fall. Still stands. Yeah. So it's not a question of your life. Are the storms going to come? It's not the question of will they come. It's a matter of what time they're going to show up.
Yeah, they're going to come.
Because they're going to come. It's going to rain on your house.
Yes.
And so your foundation's got to be solid. So I would say the Word of God.
Yeah.
Listen, I love worship. I love praise. I love preaching. I love all of that. But we don't have none of that without this.
Yeah,
we got to have the Word of God. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes,
this is what changes us. We read it. We allow it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is so important, so valuable.
How many deliverance sessions have we been through? And we ask the person, you know, how often are you in your Word? And very few open the binder of a Bible, you know.
Yeah.
And how many people, new believers, talking about new believers, come to church, they don't have a foundation to go on. They just, you know, was wooed by the Holy Spirit to come in, thank God.
Yeah.
But they've got to have the Word of God as a foundation to build upon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, and it's sad to say, pastor can't do that for them.
Right.
You can't do that as a youth pastor for them. They've got to build that foundation for themselves. You got to actually open the Word and study it. And like you said, because the work cares of the world is going to come. They're going to come. If you're not focused, all that stuff's just out here and it's just bouncing all around. If my word's right here, I'm focused right here. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I heard this guy saying the other day, he says, you can reference a phone, an app on your phone for the Bible, but you can't memorize the Bible from your phone. You got to actually read the words of the Bible. You can only study the Bible from the Bible. You know, a lot of people say, well, just get the app and you got it on your phone. That's a quick reference. That's what that's made for.
Yeah.
This is made to open up and study.
Right.
So get you a Bible, open the back of it up and start reading it.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
That's good.
I like it. I got three things here that I want to share that I believe will help a believer survive in our society. Okay.
Okay.
So this is not a conclusive list. This is not an exhaustive list. This is a shorthand list. Okay, I just jotted down a few things that I believe that it's going to take for us to overcome. All right, so number one, I believe you need a personal experience with God.
Yeah.
If you're going to make it in the world, you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to get persecuted. It's going to come to you on some level.
You can't go off mama's relationship.
That's right. Yeah. So you need to know that you know that you know that God spoke to you. You heard him. You responded. You had an interaction. Nobody can talk you out of what you've experienced.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can say, can try to convince you of what you think you know, but they will never talk you out of an experience. Well, you know, like Pastor Brock died. He went to heaven. He got to see the gates. He heard the roar from behind the gates, and then he came back. Right. Like, if you sat there and said, you didn't see that, he'd be like, oh, yes, I did. I know exactly what I saw. I know exactly. I just don't believe it. Well, I don't really care what you believe. I know what I saw, and I know what I heard. You know, it's like me being here right now, and you say, you were never in a room with all these people. It's like, well, no, I was. I was there last night. What are you talking about? I don't believe it because I didn't see it with my own eyes. Your own personal experience will help define your walk with God, and I think it'll be that push that you need to get you over sometimes because, I mean, what else is greater than an experience with God?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
The Emmaus disciples had an experience with God. The Roman soldier, not even saved, not even a believer, had an experience with Jesus Christ while he was on the cross. He goes, surely this man was the Son of God.
Amen.
These, you know, Paul was Saul before. He had an experience on the road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. He had an experience.
Yeah.
This is why I'm trying to get my cessationist buddies who, you know.
That's an emotional feeling.
I'm trying to get them to understand. They're like, it's emotions. It's emotions. No, these are experiences with God, and God is so real. So you need a personal experience with God. Number two, you better create a tough exterior.
Mm, yeah.
You better get some tough skin, some thick skin is what they would say. Let stuff roll off your back because if you're too sensitive, it can mess with you. Right.
You'll get church hurt. Really.
Yeah, you're going to be ridiculed too.
Yep. The enemy's going to use anything he can to get you divided, separated from him, his word, the church. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you just name it. Like a coworker at your job who's a Christian, they're good. Y'all get together. The enemy's going to come find a way to try to make there to be some misunderstanding between the two of you. Now I don't talk to them no more, but what was there was something positive there, something good. So you need some thick skin. Don't be so emotional. Don't let everything get to your emotions first. Think, right? Yeah. Think. Don't react, respond.
Yeah.
Right? That's all right.
Good
and
advice.
Then number three, I think you need to get a tribe.
Mm. Yeah.
Get a tribe of people. Get a tribe and avoid the troublemakers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get a people that you connect with. They're your people, right? And my people, I just happen to find that my people love Jesus. And, you know, most of them, not all of them, but most of them go to church at Finish Line. These are my people, right?
Yeah.
We jive. We connect. You know, we can talk about cars and trucks. We can talk about guns. We can talk about fishing. We can talk about remodeling houses and putting floors in. We can talk about all that stuff, and we can serve God, and we can encourage each other, and we can share the scriptures. I'm in chat groups with men. They send scriptures every day. You got to find your people, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Find the people you can. You're not going to connect with every person. Don't mean you got to hate them, right? I mean, there's hundreds of people in my church. I've never even talked to half of them.
Right.
They come in and they run out right at the end of service. I'm never going to have a chat with them.
Right.
But there's some people, they stay after, they come early, they serve, they show up at special events. For example,
put yourself out there. You got to put yourself out there.
Yeah. You can't say, I don't have any friends.
You know, I moved here from Georgia and I didn't know anybody, right? Me and my family moved here, not a soul that we know. And I was like, well, we got to find a church. At least we can. You know, at least that'll keep me out of the bars, you know, try to find some companions that way, right?
And I was y'all started searching.
We started searching. Yeah. And we went to a couple other ones, and I came here, and I'll never forget. I've shared this several times, but I came on a Wednesday night, and we loved it. And then that next Friday night was Man Up. So Wendy was like, you need to go to that Man Up. I said, man, I don't know these guys. I just my first time. I said, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So I went in there, Man Up. Half of them's toting sidearms, and we're talking about guns and trucks. And I was like, "Wait a minute, this is church. This ain't what church is. Anything I'm used to,
You know, these are regular guys.
Regular guys.
Who have the same interests, the same stuff that I got, right?
And then I was like, well, I can get down with this. So, you know, I started coming back. And lo and behold, here I am, still going. But every friend I've brought or family member I brought, there's something unique about that place. It's not church. It's not. I mean, it's a church.
It's like a big family.
It is. Yeah. It's different.
You gotta find your people.
Your people. That's right.
That's right. I really like those three. I really stand behind those. Yeah, so
pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about finding a group of folks and, you know, being able to overcome with somebody.
Yes.
Because the enemy loves to isolate. He likes to get you by yourself. If he can isolate you, then he has the ability to tell you stuff over and over again until you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're worthless. You're worthless. Unless you got somebody in your life going, you know what, man? You're awesome, bro, man. I can't believe, man, you're a fantastic dude. You're awesome, right? It cancels out the enemy and that voice. And, that, you know, just stay home. Don't do this. Don't do that. You're right. Come on over to the house, man. Hang out, man. Let's have a cookout or something. Let's hang out. And, you know, that counteracts some of the things that we fight against as humans. Because we're still humans at the end of the day.
That's right.
Words we need community.
Yeah.
We need positivity. We need people in our corner and that are going to help fight with us. If at the first sign of any disagreement, you're ready to throw somebody under the bus, like you're not a friend. You know, you need to be able to say, I'm willing to stick some stuff out. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to go through a fire. I'm willing to let's sharpen each other. Let's knock the rust off each other.
And this is another thing. You might have to get you some new friends.
New ones. That's good.
The crowd you used to run with that is in all that debauchery and that mess. And you're trying to have one foot in, one foot out, and you're straddling the fence. I party on Saturday. I try to go to church on Sunday and repent, and I do it again. I'm good all week. Then Saturday rolls around. I'm back at the pool. I'm back at the club. It ain't going to work, guys. I'm telling you. You got to finally say, enough's enough with that world. I'm going to serve God. And you got to go full. God wants all of you. He don't want part of you. He don't want you part-time. He wants you full-time.
Yeah.
Full send.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right.
He wants you all in.
All or nothing.
Exactly. And I'll never forget the day I finally like, Lord, I'm going all in with you. It's got to be you. Only you can do what I need to have done. And he's been, man, it's been an awesome ride.
That's right. That's right. You know, we really have opportunities, I think, more often than not to have connection. I think for fear sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that person. I don't know what they're going to think about me. So hats off to everybody that's ever done that. Stepped out, went to a men's group, didn't know anybody. Yeah. Went to visit a church they've never been to before. Because that sometimes those are the best decisions you've ever made in your life.
Yeah.
I got invited to a church. I was 16 years old. I got off work, got invited to go. I didn't know anybody there but like one person.
Mm-hmm.
I went in, and lo and behold, I saw three or four people that I knew there. But when I got saved, truly, when I got saved, it wasn't me saying, I got to drop friends. I'll just tell you, I had a hard lesson in just friends dropping me.
Yeah.
Just my interest changed. Yeah. I started going to church. I was interested in God. I wanted to learn more about God. I wanted to find out what's going on with this church stuff. Because I grew up in church, but I really, like, it was like, a you know, we went to church on a Sunday, but it wasn't consuming of my life. So at 16, I really got saved, and the people made decisions for me, a lot of them. We're not going to be your friend anymore. So that really, like, I took that hard.
Yeah.
But I found my new friends at church. Now, some of them were great friends. Some of them were crappy people. But, I mean, I just had to take what I got, right?
Right.
I would rather take the bad people that I was going to get being saved and at church and being filled with the Spirit. And I'll take a few people, bad apples in the bunch, but having some good connections than, you know, just having all these people that are really, truly trying to pull me in the wrong direction. Yeah. There's a big difference.
And not everybody's perfect. You're not going to find the perfect friend. You know, people's going to make mistakes, and they're going to hurt your feelings. And they're, you know, a true friend to say, I'm sorry, I did you wrong.
Yeah.
Let's move on. That's a true friend. Not one that's going to stab you in the back and act like they didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And then see you at the supermarket, and then see you coming down the aisle, turn around, and swoop back the other direction, try to get away from you.
Yeah.
You ever seen people do that? And you're like, man, I didn't do anything to those people. Why are they so?
I just go flag them down. Hey, how you doing over there? I ain't seen you in a long time. How's your mama and them?
Oh, man. No, that's never happened to me.
I ain't got but two friends, so, you know. They're sitting in this room.
He carries them in his pocket with him.
Hold them close.
Revelation 12 says that they overcame him, talking about the devil, the temptation, the mm-hmm. enemy, and the world. They overcame him by two things, the blood of the Lamb mm-hmm. and the word of our testimony. Mm-hmm. So, if they're going to overcome, not just by the blood. See, the blood is powerful. The blood is about forgiveness. But if you're going to overcome in your life, you not only have to overcome something by his power and his grace and his mercy, but you got to also tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the day for secret Christians and closet Christians is over.
Yeah.
It'd be like, people are like, I didn't even know you were a believer. I've known you for 20 years. I worked with you for 20 years. I didn't even know you were a Christian.
Yeah.
No, they need to know day one.
You know
who you are. Overcome. How? Hey, listen. Can I tell you my testimony? What God's done for me? How he's done in my life? He saved me. He took me out of this. God delivered me. I mean, there's people in this room. Every one of us has got some kind of a testimony of what God's done. You can't be quiet about it.
Well, your testimony is for somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, what the trials you went through, what you've been through. You know, what John's been through, you know, coming out there on the street, that's for somebody else to hear. You know, it's great that it happened that's to right. him. Thank God that it happened to him. But did it just happen just for that, or did it happen for a slew of other people?
Well, there's people that need to hear.
Exactly.
The same story that they're going through. Exactly. They need to hear, I did that. I was in that. I was involved in that. That happened to me. The same thing that happened. Oh, wow. We've got a similar testimony, right? So it's like you could probably talk to somebody much easier about, you know, alcoholism, you know, mm-hmm. what that feels like, what that's like, because you were there, you experienced it, you suffered, you overcame, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about. It's not saying, hey, man, I know what it's like to get drunk. No, I know what it's like to get free. I know what it's like saved. I know what it's like to get delivered from those things. That's what it's about. It's saying, hey, not only did God do it for me, but God can do it for you.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You know, that's what I used to think my testimony. I was scared to share it because I felt like I was bragging on the devil, you know, or bragging how bad I was, right? And then I'll never forget somebody said, no, your testimony is about how you overcame that situation. It ain't what you used to do. You're a new creature. You know, you're no longer that anymore. Your testimony is look at the grace of God that he's had on your life. That's what you testify.
Yeah. Awesome. You got any last comments there?
Survive. No. You know, find you some real good people, honestly. You know, if it wasn't for me just listening to a friend to come to church and really experience what God had in store for me, I wouldn't be here today. And I surrounded myself with like-minded people, other believers, and I stayed invested in the Word. And you know what? Each day I'm still surviving a little bit more, a little bit better. There's always going to be trials and tribulations, but just continue on, press on, and seek after the Lord and just survive. Be invested in his word most of all.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that have a form of godliness. They look the part, but don't just
lack the power.
Yeah. It says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof.
Deny the power, yes.
Be careful about connecting to people who just look the part and they don't have any power. Yes. If you're looking for a group of believers and nobody ever gets saved in that group, nobody ever gets healed, nobody gets set free, I would say find some people who have real power and a real connection with God, because at some point you're going to need it. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to be connected with people who know how to get a hold of God.
Amen. That's good advice.
Amen. All right. This has been the KTF Podcast. We are keeping the faith, and we're helping you do it as well. So remember, you can survive, you're going to overcome, and you're going to do it through the blood Praise and God. The word of your testimony. Amen. Amen. I'm Pastor Shannon reminding you to always keep the faith to the finish line.